You've said it before. This will only take a second. Just a quick glance. A fast reply. But on the road, seconds don't wait for you. They decide everything. Who stops, who doesn't, who makes it home. So next time your phone lights up, ask yourself, is this distraction worth a ticket or even a life? Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. I wanted to finish my article that we're talking about here about the election corruption out there in Arizona. And so here, as we continue, now with the Trump DOJ under new leadership reopening their probe into the 2020 election crimes, including the FBI's grand jury subpoena for terabytes of data from Arizona's own 2021 legislative review, Mays and Fontes are panicking. They fired off letters to Peterson demanding to know exactly what voter data and audit records were handed over, claiming privacy concerns while trying to intimidate counties and officials into resisting federal investigators. Peterson's legal team at Snell and Wilmer reviewed the letters and concluded that the actions were inappropriate and potentially criminal. Arizona's Senate President Warren Peterson laid out a stunning case to U.S. Attorney Timothy Corchain, accusing the state's top election officials of actively undermining federal investigations. Well, it's like common practice to them anymore. It's like that's all they do, okay? And so,
yeah, what's new, huh?
Yeah, okay. Very good. Now, you know, you've heard that expression, ticked off. Well, yeah. Right now Randy's going to get ticked off. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So tell us about it, Randy.
That's right. You may have heard that this is potentially one of the worst years for increase in ticks, those pesky bugs that many times get on people, dogs, animals, deer, all of that. Well, we have a video from the content creator Sling and Stone, and there is something mysteriously going on some of the farms. So let's roll that clip.
We have a lot of strange reports coming out in connection to ticks. Farmers saying that boxes of them are being delivered to their farms. Also, the evidence that ticks are being used and have been used as a bioweapon with Lyme's disease. Of course, there's connections to the Gates Foundation, and there's something very interesting happening with Pfizer and the timing of all of this. We'll also end the video off with some of the spiritual things that you can do as you go out in the world with all of this stuff happening all the time. This was the first video that kind of set all of this off. Farmers are reporting boxes of ticks being found in fields. This should concern you. Online fact checkers are saying that there's no evidence in support of this. In the description on that Instagram video, the person said that they were hearing directly from farmers in the Midwest about unusual tick activity in their fields, reports of boxes of ticks being found, and reports of ticks being seen in ways that feel out of the ordinary. The mainstream news is out here saying that Lyme disease experts predict another bad year in 2026. All of this is converging in a very interesting way. How the tick population is behaving, Lyme disease on the rise, there's strange things around that too. Pfizer and the interesting timing of what they're up to, we'll look at that in just a bit. But one of the scariest, and probably the scariest actually in connection to this, is something in regards to the Lone Star tick. So the elites of the world are not talking about how it's a terrible thing that this is something that would happen to a human being, but this is something that they can do more of and spread this more so that people won't eat meat, but that they'll have to eat whatever climate change diet they think is right. This video has been going around online and it is scary to see, especially after hearing these last videos on this. But I do also want to say in relation to this, of course, Bill Gates is always brought into these conversations. When you first search online, it'll say, no, he has no connection to tick research. But then actually, yeah, you go back to about 2021 and you find out that he has awarded different companies through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation into ticks and parasites that feed on the blood of cattle and other livestock. And that is just what's known. Bill Gates does own the largest amount of farmland in the United States. What does he know about the strange activity of ticks that is being reported around America? He's also an early investor into Beyond Meat. Maybe he wants a lot of people to get bit by that tick so they have to eat his Beyond Burgers. Well, whatever the case is at the moment with all of that, some people will say that's true, some people will say it's not. Either way, ticks being used as a form of a bioweapon is a real thing. A lot of people have been pointing out online that the timing of all of this is very interesting. Remember, Lyme disease is increasing now, and it's another terrible year in 2026 for ticks. Some reports that ticks are being dropped off in farms. Crazy videos with people walking around and so many ticks on them. And now it comes out that Pfizer and Alneva announced Lyme disease vaccine candidate demonstrates strong efficacy in phase 3 Valor trial. So pretty much what that means is that the investigational vaccine candidate was well tolerated with no safety concerns identified at time of analysis. So just like we heard before with Pfizer, it's safe and effective. And take a look at this video here. This is pretty odd. The CEO of Pfizer, his neck acts in a way that does not look human. So what's there to do in relation to all of this? Well, if you live in an area where ticks are bad, you can look up online for some preemptive actions to protect your property or yourself when you go into an area, or if you live in an area where there might be ticks. And while that's important, I want to talk about something now that I believe is even more important than that. And that is how to spiritually go out into these situations in the world and to be protected and to call on God and to trust in Him with all of these different things going on around us. The spiritual realm does play into the physical realm. Jesus told us that we will trample over scorpions and serpents and nothing by any means will harm us. Does that mean that we take no precautions? Of course not. We're supposed to be wise in our decisions too. But staying prayed up and armored up and close to the Lord Jesus, there's nothing that can compare to that when it comes to protection. Read the chapter of Ephesians 6, the whole armor of God. Put that on every day. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. There's so many verses about the power of the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews 13:12, it tells us that Jesus Christ, through his blood, that he sanctifies us. And it does so much more than that. It's a powerful thing to call upon in your life. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? These are things that we should be declaring and believing every day in our lives. And of course, always living in obedience to the Lord and abiding close in him. This brings an incredible protection on top of the physical protections that we take through wisdom. And a verse that's really spoken to me lately that is just always so assuring, read all of Psalm 91, which is what it comes from. That chapter talks a lot about the protection of God in our lives. And Psalm 91:14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Psalm 91 talks all about God's protection in our lives. If we are living for him and in him, there is still evil and tribulation in the world. But if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he will deliver us, I believe, in this life and for sure in the life to come after here. And that is because we have chosen to make the Lord our refuge, even the Most High, our dwelling place.
You know, I wanted to just say, I have absolutely no doubts at all about, you know, that we, until God is finished with us, nothing can happen to us that he doesn't allow. And I know in my life, and Richard, you know, because we've been together a long time, I've had people try to kill me many times. And I mean, just normally it would have got done, okay? But yeah. When I had no idea that it was coming, this and that, I had just so many different things that have happened. People try to betray you, set you up, and all of these things. And again, sometimes had no knowledge, not even suspecting yet, God was there. Mm-hmm. And just in the past 6 weeks, I've had two tornadoes come through my yard. Just how many, some people, believe it or not, go through their whole life without even having one tornado, right? But I got two, just, you know, and here, another miracle, because I got that flashing on my phone, you know, telling me tornadoes in your area. And so I decided, you know, it got dark out, and I went out on the back deck, and I hear, sure enough, you could see it. And I thought, I want to see this thing up close, until it got up close. And when it got up close, I didn't really want to see it at all. Whoa. And another miracle was how an old preacher of my age could move as fast as I did. I mean, I moved faster than that tornado. Mm-hmm. And that thing was coming through there with it had 85 mile an hour it was moving at. But anyhow, that was an amazing thing. But how, again, people tell me, Pastor, aren't you afraid? No, got no fear of it, because nothing can happen to me until the Lord allows. And if he allows it, then it's time, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I pray, when I'm praying it, I thank God for the blessings that he showers upon us daily. And if you think about that, God is watching over us and showering blessings upon us. We don't even know. We have no idea. Even getting from point A to point B, driving in that, you know, if you look at some of the drivers out there, how in the world isn't there more accidents? Mm-hmm. Isn't there more things happening? But God's hand is in so much, and we're just almost oblivious sometimes to what God is doing. Yeah. But we need to focus on that, because he does shower us with blessings.
Yeah, and he puts us at the right place at the right time for the right reasons. Yeah. You know, things that we would not think of doing ourselves. So many times this has happened to us, so... but here's the problem. The vast majority of people out there are clueless to what's happening all around them. It's happening all around them, mm-hmm. but they're in la-la land. They're totally oblivious to the things. And God gives us a little bit of an insight, a better that we understand, gives us that understanding and that peace that passes all understanding, huh?
Yeah.
And so, very good.
Yeah, it's sad, Pastor, to see how Bill Gates and many of those people are aligned with Satan, and they don't want us to eat meat, but then they want to produce beyond meat that you're supposed to take. And so these ticks, if they bite you, you will have now an allergic reaction. You will not be able to eat that meat. But I want to remind them and anyone else that is listening that tries to vilify meat, according to Genesis, God gave Noah instruction on how to eat and what to eat. And he said this real quick in verse 3 of Genesis 9, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Verse 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So we're not supposed to eat things with the blood in it, or things actually sacrificed to idols. And that we have to also be cautious, because there is what is called or labeled halal meat. And if you do the research on that, you will find out that this halal meat is actually sacrificed to idols. Those of the Islamic faith, they take these animals, and instead of stunning them or killing them humanely, it's horrible how they kill them. They actually they have to suffer when they do that. But they sacrifice this to their idol, and now that you can find this meat in many of the grocery stores, so we have to be careful of that as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know the thing on dietary restrictions and that. Mm-hmm. There's, however you eat, there's nothing in the scriptures that really justifies it has nothing to do, let's say, with your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you eat meat or don't eat meat, or whether you eat certain meats and restrict yourself, it really has nothing to do with your walk with the Lord. So, you know, some people try to, well, you know, I don't eat meat, so I'm better, or I eat meat because, you know, yeah. Genesis. And what the restrictions you're talking about are mentioned in Acts 15. Mm-hmm. And all it is four things that God was talking about. It was when the Jews were trying to get the Gentile conversions mm-hmm. To do certain things. And he says not to eat things sacrificed to animals, mm-hmm. not to eat blood, not to eat things strangled, and avoid fornication.
That's right.
Those
that's
four
right.
things, and that's it. And they said, fare ye well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have a nice day.
Yeah, well, the Lord said it's not what goes in your mouth that defiles the body, but what comes out. And
that's right.
Yes.
But, and he kind of tells you that in Romans 14, you know, mm-hmm. like the Apostle Paul said, you know, he could eat meat sacrificed to idols because he knew that the idols were nothing. They were nothing. But
right.
he didn't want to do that because he'd give the wrong impression.
Okay? Exactly.
But when you were saying out of there in Genesis, you know, every living thing, according, mm-hmm. You weren't telling Lisa she could eat ticks, were you?
Oh, goodness. I know what you do when you
don't
give
do it,
thanks,
Lisa.
When you give thanks for your food, you say, and now protect me from what I'm about to eat and nourish us, right?
Yeah, but don't eat ticks.
Well, we
never.
We know John ate, locusts.
Locusts, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, ticks are full of blood, right? It might not be theirs, but they're full of blood.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go.
That's right. The ticks are... You can't eat ticks because of the blood in them.
Yes.
One time I was in Kentucky, and I was down in a real heavy, thick area, and I come out of there, and I had ticks all over me.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I couldn't believe it. It was because I'd never seen that many ticks in one place there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was not good. I didn't do it again. So, but you know what? Iran's leaders are dead.
Mm.
Its navy is sunk. And the media says Trump's losing the war. So, here, pro-Iranian propaganda and much of the U.S. media. By the way, the Iranian leadership there is saying that they're, with the help and the support of the U.S. media and the people, you know, the Democratic Party here, they will win this war with the help and the support of the Democrats here. But anyhow.
Wow.
Iranian propaganda and much of the U.S. media have claimed that Trump is losing the war in Iran, but data does not support that claim at all. Thousands of Iranians have died. Most of the country's top leaders have been killed, and in some cases, one and even two iterations of their replacements have been killed. The Iranian Air Force and Navy have been destroyed, along with multiple nuclear facilities, bomb-making factories, launch pads, and other assets necessary for continued war. This is not to say that it's impossible for Iran to continue, but rather that the war is moving in the right direction toward the IRGC's eventual defeat. Only 13 U.S. servicemen and women have been killed. Both downed pilots have been rescued. And Iran backed down to Trump's threats. To open the Strait of Hormuz, or face total destruction. People on social media have repeatedly argued that Iran is winning, and that it somehow has a grand victory strategy, including allowing the U.S. to kill its leaders, scientists, and military personnel. That would be something a Democrat would say. That's what they would say. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And nuclear assets. One outlet even claimed that this destruction brings, as of Iran closer to, it brings Iran closer to completing its nuclear weapons. You know, I mean, what reasoning? You just wonder. It's just amazing. As of April 6th, the U.S.-based human rights group Harana documented 3,597 deaths in Iran from strikes and military casualties, believed to be significantly higher due to limited access and government capacity. Iran International separately reported that 4,700 security forces killed as of March 31st. Well, you know, that's not nearly, and that's, you know, that's their military that we killed, but that's only a fraction of the amount of Iranians they killed. you know, over 60,000 of their own people.
They killed their own people.
They have mass hangings in there. But anyhow, that's just an amazing thing. But he goes on to say, since February 28th, U.S. and Israeli attacks have killed the Supreme Leader, the Defense Minister, the IRGC Chief of Staff, the Naval Commanders, the Base Chief, the Intelligence Minister, roughly 40 senior officials in total, the worst single leadership loss in Iran's history. Well, you've got an article, Little Lisa.
Okay, this is by Bob Unruh. Prosecutors in one leftist state are dealing with a situation in which family members allegedly tried a do-it-yourself assisted suicide on Granny and got caught. Boulder County District Attorney Michael Daugherty in Colorado said it's a, quote, sad and tragic case, unquote, and confirmed the actions were not part of any, quote, assisted death, which in fact is legal in the state. It is Raimundo Rojas of the National Right to Life Committee who profiled the case at lifenews.com. It involves the death of Mildred Milsey Roller, age 91, in the state where, quote, lawmakers and activists, unquote, sold the assisted suicide schemes by promising, quote, narrow eligibility, medical supervision, and meaningful safeguards.
All right, Randy.
Journalist who first broke missing airman scoop steps forward after Trump threat, vows to protect sources. The identity of the journalist who first broke the sensitive story about a missing American airman has now been revealed. An Israeli journalist has come out and admitted to being the first to drop the bombshell details on the second missing U.S. airman in Iran, the New York Post reported. On President Trump's explosive White House comments slamming somebody for leaking sensitive details about the missing fighter pilot, Trump made it crystal clear that reckless disclosure put hundreds of U.S. troops, including elite SEAL Team 6 operators, in mortal danger during the high-stakes rescue deep inside hostile Iranian territory. The weapons systems officer evaded Iranian forces for days, surviving intense firefights before being extracted in a daring operation that showcased the unmatched bravery of Americans' warfighters. As you probably know, we didn't talk about the first one for an hour, and then somebody leaked something which will hopefully find that leaker. We're looking very hard to find that leaker and talked about somebody, there's somebody missing, Trump said to reporters on Monday. They basically said that we have one and there's somebody missing. Well, they didn't know there was somebody missing until this leaker gave the information, Trump said. So whoever it is, we think we'll be able to find out because we're going to go to the media company that released it and we're going to say national security, give it up or go to jail. Amit Sehgal, the high profile political commentator and anchor for Israel's Channel 12 News, stepped forward on his Telegram channel Monday and acknowledged his role in publishing the initial scoop about the downed U.S. fighter jet crew.
Well, I can pick it up on this part of that. Here is the journalist who used a now-arrested former Army Special Ops employee to expose top-secret classified national defense information. The reporter who helped a former Army Special Operations employee alleged to commit treason has been revealed, and his background should come as no surprise. As the Gateway Pundit reported, FBI arrested former Special Operations Command employee for leaking classified national defense information to the media. Courtney Williams, 40, of Wagram, North Carolina, allegedly transmitted classified material to individuals not authorized to see it, including a journalist. The DOJ said she was arrested on Tuesday and indicted by federal grand jury on Wednesday. Federal prosecutors say that between 2022 and 2025, Williams disclosed top-secret classified information in phone and text messages communication with a journalist. While the journalist was not named in the indictment, numerous reports have confirmed the person is an investigative reporter and a foreign correspondent, Seth Harp. Harp, who writes for the far-left Rolling Stone, previously profiled Williams for his book, The Fort Bragg Cartel. The far-left hack also published a profile on Williams as a political article. All right. You have an article there.
Sure. This is from the Gateway Pundit. Department of Homeland Security announced the arrest of National Shara Seisauer, in Milwaukee. Seisauer, who is president of the board of directors of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee, ISM, Wisconsin's largest mosque, is being held in ICE custody in Indiana. Seisauer is also a board member of the national pro-advocate organization American Muslims of Palestine. DHS has Seisauer as a terrorist and was convicted of throwing Molotov cocktails at the homes of Israel soldiers. Seisauer then allegedly lied on his U.S. immigration application to obtain a green card under President Bill Clinton. DHS shared the arrest of the national with a prior conviction of throwing the Molotov cocktails at the home. Seisauer raised funds for the Holy Land Foundation, HLF, which was shut down by the U.S. government in 2008. The HLF was found guilty of funneling over $12 million to Hamas terrorists.
All right. Doesn't sound like a nice person.
Right.
No, I don't,
he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't want him living next door. Thanks.
No.
Shield of America's Ecuador's Noboa says U.S. troops are welcome to fight drug cartels. So there you go in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mexico will pick up on that and say, you know what, come on down here. I mean, Trump had told the president of Mexico that if she didn't get a grip on that, that we were going to come in down there. And that's when the Mexican government started cracking down on the drug cartels there.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, the new anti-cartel alliance put forward by U.S. President Donald Trump is starting to change the landscape in Latin America, one forgotten by feeble Joe Biden and left to be infiltrated by Russia, China, and Iran. By the way, did you know that in China right now they're having major, major problems? They discovered, you know, they have their own USDA in China, but it come out $145 billion that was supposed to be buying food for the hungry Chinese people, which was taken in by the corrupt government. Those the officials in there, they were, you know, they scammed it, just like they did in Somalia, just like they did in here parts of Ohio, and really the corruption is really bad in California. I mean, really bad in California.
Yes.
But anyhow, by now, action against these criminal drug networks is going on stronger than ever. As a clear example, we have Ecuador's President Daniel Noboa saying that he would welcome U.S. troops to help confront the security crisis in his nation. And boy, that's all that we need to do, because Special Forces is made perfectly for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. We'll be back right after this with more.
Welcome to God's world. Start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the
till the end of time.
Knock, and his door will open. Seek, and you will find. And you'll be given eternal life, sublime. He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
It was for you and I that he was crucified.
All right. That's right, folks. He'll be waiting there, his arms open wide. Boy, that guy could sing, you know. But anyhow... just wanted to tell you, folks, the Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we're an actual New Testament church, and we were talking about today how so many of these mega churches, they're losing people, they're closing their doors, many of these, and they're going into bankruptcy. I think God's sending them a message, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
And this body count, evangelism, and but anyhow... Doers of the Word, we're an old-time church. We hold to the traditions, yet we still sing right from the hymn books. You know, we don't have live bands and all of that. We sing from the hymn books. We believe in the Word of God.
Yes.
We hold to the traditions of the apostles there. And anyhow, Doers of the Word, we're pro-God, pro-family, pro-life. And again, we're an uncompromising. We believe to hold literally to the Word of God. And so our church service starts. We have an in-depth Bible study. Well, and you kind of get some of our Bible studies here. You have an idea what they're like. An in-depth Bible study at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. And then... the morning service starts at 11:30. You have an in-depth message, and folks, you know what we're talking about. And then at 5, we have the evening service. We're one of the, in our area, to show you how things have changed, we're one of the very few churches that even have an evening service anymore. Mm. The very few of them even have an evening
service. Is that
right? Yeah. More and more that's happening. And so... but the evening service starts at 5, and We usually have a lot of fun there, both in the morning. The Bible studies are good.
Yes.
But in the morning, after the Bible study, we gather and we pray. Now, we get hundreds and hundreds of letters in the mail, and we take all of those and we pray over the folks. You know, we answer and we their prayer requests, and some of them just don't. They just send a donation, and we give them the Lord's blessing. We pray for every one of them. As they blessed us with their donations, we bless them too and ask God to pray them the Lord's blessings. So anyhow, Doors of the Word Baptist Church, 14781. That's 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. And the zip is 44065. Out there, you can't hardly miss us if you go out to Newberry in Geauga County to Sperry Road. It's right on the corner of Sperry and Route 87, right underneath an 800-foot tower. And, I mean, you can't hardly miss that 800-foot tower. And if you come at the right time, you might see Lisa climbing that tower.
Oh, goodness.
Is that right? She climbs that every week? Yeah.
But it is tall.
I would go there. I'd stay up all night to watch that, wouldn't you?
Oh, my goodness.
There you go. Anyhow, you have an article, little Lisa.
Okay, this is by Bob Unruh. Get this. Don Lemon, the dismissed CNN entertainer who is facing a federal case for allegedly violating the constitutional right of churchgoers in Minnesota to worship, who has attacked President Trump repeatedly over his efforts to enforce immigration and border law, and who demanded that Trump be disinvited from an annual White House correspondence dinner, says he'd be a great president. Oh, really? So maybe America could go from President Don Trump to President Don Lemon? Oh, I could definitely run this country better than Donald Trump, he said. Why can't I think about running for office? Why can't I think about being president of the United States? Give me a break.
You know, you got to give him credit for one thing. He's a man who has true respect and love for himself.
Yeah, narcissist.
Yeah, I mean, Don Lemon is about Don Lemon. Okay?
Yeah.
But unfortunately for him, he's the only one that's about Don Lemon. Okay. But he doesn't. They kind of does. He misses that message, doesn't he?
Yes.
Maybe he should run for president. Then the Democrats wouldn't even vote for him.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, just think about, just in that article, what he said, that Trump should not be invited to the White House correspondent dinner.
Yeah.
Where does Trump live?
In the White House.
Where does the correspondent dinner take place?
White House.
And who is always the guest of honor there?
President.
The president.
Yeah.
So Don Lemon is a lemon.
Yes, he
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, you call cars that don't run right lemons, right?
That's right.
So there you go, Don. You getting the message? All right, Randy, you got an article there?
Yes. Groundbreaking new study regarding ivermectin and cancer. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, the vast majority of Americans, regardless of their ideological leanings, simply trusted the medical establishment.
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah.
Yes, it is. According to polling in April 2020, the outbreak of the pandemic, 71.5% of respondents reported having a lot of trust in physicians and hospitals. By January 2024, that number had plummeted to 40.1%, over a 30% drop there. Unfortunately, trust in our healthcare system and its institutions has been undermined by a belief that decisions are being made not based on what is in the best interest of Americans' healthcare, but what is in the best interest of corporate bottom lines. To restore faith in our system, we need to research and treatment that is focused on the patient's health, not just profit. That's where the wellness company comes in. Dr. Peter McCullough and a number of his colleagues at the wellness company have recently authored a first kind study of the application of ivermectin and mebendazole in the treatment of cancer. It says 84% of cancer patients reported a clinical benefit. In this human observational analysis, off-label use of ivermectin and mebendazole showed a remarkable 84% clinical benefit ratio in the treatment of cancer. These results indicate that the inexpensive and safe off-label applications of these medications could be an important breakthrough in the treatment of cancer. The report analyzed 197 cancer patients who were prescribed ivermectin and mebendazole off-label. Participants received compounded oral capsules containing 25 milligrams of ivermectin and 250 milligrams of mebendazole. After 6 months, patients reported an 84% clinical benefit ratio, with 48% of the participants reporting regression or no evidence of cancer, while 36% reported disease stability. Only 15.6% of patients reported disease progression. Cancer remains one of the leading causes of death globally, with conventional treatments such as chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and targeted agents frequently limited by significant toxicity, high cost, development of resistance, and variable long-term efficacy. The experts at the wellness company undertook this study because ivermectin and mebendazole have demonstrated highly promising anti-cancer activity in preclinical models. But despite compelling preclinical data and documented safe use in cancer patients, robust clinical evidence evaluating the ivermectin-mebendazole combination in oncology remains limited. According to Dr. McCullough, this study reveals an exciting new potential that should expand the consideration of ivermectin and mebendazole for inclusion in the treatment of multiple cancer types. We urgently need a full-fledged scientific investigation into the class of medications and their impact on cancer treatment.
Well, you know, and again, it's you know, then going back to the natural herbs and things like that they use, they didn't want us to use any of these things that actually would cure the COVID, did they?
Not at all.
No.
And that's the same thing with this idea. If this really would work, it would get funneled away somewhere.
Right.
Because look at all these oncology buildings that they've built and everything.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, it's an enterprise to treat the symptoms, do not cure the disease. The money's in treating the symptoms, huh?
Yeah. That's a shame, but that's so true with the medical profession. You know, if you fixed everybody that came in, they wouldn't come back.
Right. Well, they were showing, Pastor, even with the COVID, quote unquote, that the ivermectin was helping with that, and they began to make it difficult even for people that were getting ivermectin previously for their animals. You couldn't even get it at the feed stores or whatnot. It was becoming very difficult.
Wow.
Yeah, they were trying to shut it down, weren't they? And because it was working.
Yeah.
And you know, they wanted, because Fauci had that remdesivir.
Okay? Remdesivir.
You know, I think we call it run with fear. Okay. Because it was killing people.
Yeah. Yeah,
and of course that's what, but not that wasn't just the main thing. It was costing you like $1,000 a dose, and so where the other stuff, ivermectin cost you $10 a dose,
right?
And so that was the whole point.
Yeah,
and it was killing people. It was killing people. I talked to a doctor, and because remember Pastor Bruce?
Yes,
Pastor Bruce called me and said, "I want you to tell my doctor that I don't want any of this." This remdesivir, make it clear. And so I did. I talked to him. I says, you know, we're watching you guys. And he said, it's not the remdesivir that's killing people if it's used right. He said, the problem of it is they never taught these doctors how to use it. He says, and they overdose and they kill people. He said you have to use just the very slightest amounts, mm-hmm. and you have to do it on the right type of basis.
Yeah.
He says, and then it will work. But you have, the other things that we know have worked, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And why not use ivermectin? Why not use, what is the other one?
Hydrochloroquine?
The one on this article?
Yeah.
Mabendazole.
And then the other one is what is it?
Hydrochloroquine.
Yes. You know, and all these things, they actually work, so why not mm-hmm. stay with those? And there's another one that we used that was even much cheaper and works better than all the rest, and I'm trying to remember what the name of that was. But anyhow, we're at that time that we come to every night where we come to the most important part of the program.
That's right.
Because like I had told Mike today, Mike, when he received Christ as a Savior, I said, you just did the most important thing you'll ever do.
Mm-hmm.
You will never, ever do anything that means as much as what you just did here mm-hmm. tonight. Okay. Or today, rather. And so, I know we keep getting this message out, and people say, well, you know, you tell us that every night. Well, no, every day we have new people listening to this radio program.
That's right.
And, again, a lot of times people have to hear an invitation many times before they receive it, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Before that light switch is switched on.
Yeah. How many times have you talked to people and asked them, would you like to do that? Don't you think maybe the very fact that the preacher is giving you this invitation means the preacher is just a messenger? God's speaking to you through the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
So God's saying, here, now is the time. Now is the time.
That's right.
And a lot of times people say, well, and I've heard people say, I'm not ready yet. In other words, I remember I had some of those gang boys on the sidewalk when I was preaching out there,
yeah.
telling me that when we get old like you, preach, we'll get some religion, but right now we want to party hardy, okay?
Hmm.
And, and I told them, I said, I didn't get old by being stupid, you know? You might not ever get old, okay? And let me tell you talk about being stupid is to die in your sin when you didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the worst mistake anyone could ever make, right?
Right.
And so that's why we're here, to tell that's the right. folks how they can avoid that burning lake of fire, because there is a burning lake of fire.
Yeah.
And people have a mindset, well, it sounds too easy to be for real. God did it. Jesus did all the heavy lifting, folks. Yeah. He set it up. He did for you what you could never do for yourself. So you mm-hmm. fellas, tell them how they can avoid that burning lake of fire.
Okay. Amen. As you said, Pastor, now is the time. What people need to understand is that time is running out. We are not promised tomorrow. You are not promised to wake up in the morning and have another chance to make this decision. So if that's you tonight, we implore you to hear the Spirit of God that is speaking, that is beckoning and calling for you to accept Jesus Christ tonight. And my question is the God of this world blinding you? Is there something that is stopping you from the gospel? And that Bible says that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds. And so we want you to be able to hear God and hear him speaking to you. And I want to say something, because sometimes there may be those that are of the Jewish faith or Jews, and maybe you, you hear this program, but you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. Well, according to Romans, this says this: brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Listen, Jesus Christ, God had prophesied what was going to happen in the sending of Jesus Christ all the way back when sin happened and he dealt with Adam and Eve. And the prophecy went forward about Satan's head being crushed, Jesus Christ, his heel being bruised. And so, listen, there is no other way for you to be saved except through Jesus Christ. And that's why Acts 4:12 says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus Christ himself says this, and then I'm turning it over to Pastor. He says this, he says, Jesus said unto her, he was talking to Martha, I am the resurrection. Their brother Lazarus had died. They were crying. They were, of course, bereaved. And he would begin to talk to them about the resurrection. But he said again, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Go ahead, Pastor.
You know, that's what Pastor Sanders was saying here about we're repeating ourselves, or we go through this all the time. You know, there's a number of reasons, and of course what he said is to touch those hearts of maybe a new listener or somebody that has not heard the gospel message before. But it's also for new believers,
yeah,
to confirm what you truly believe in, and also to give you ideas and ways to touch other people's hearts for the Lord. You know, every one of you should be witnesses and speaking about Christ to others and giving your testimony. And in order to talk to somebody, you don't need to know everything. All you need to know is tell them about how you got saved. Tell them why you got saved. You should be able to have a testimony about that. And that's what we need to do with everyone. So the idea here is, it's belief alone. It's a belief in Jesus Christ, knowing who Jesus Christ is, that he's God in the flesh. He came to the earth through a virgin. He was walked a perfect life. Mm-hmm. He died on the cross, was buried for 3 days, and rose again, and lives today. If you believe that, and want him to run your life and understand that you need a Savior, the scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to turn to him. That's the idea of repenting, changing your mind of what you thought before how to be saved, changing your direction.
1 minute, Richard.
And walking with him and have him the Lord of your life. So surrender to him and ask him to come into your heart. Go ahead, Pastor Sanders.
Well, we come to the end of the program every day, and again, like you said, Richard, you know, we continue to do this because, see, that's what God created us for,
yes,
right? And folks, you know, every one of you profess to be Christians. When was the last time you invited someone to church? Okay, when was the last time that you witnessed to people? We emphasize that doing doers of the Word Baptist Church, we really, really emphasize witnessing the gospel out there because the Bible does, right? We get it right directly,
amen,
from the Word of God. Well, we're at that time where we come to every night. So as we say, thanks for being here, all of you folks out there. Sorry that we don't have phones yet. Keep us in prayer. Please keep us in prayer. And until next week, we want to say good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, and always. And I did it before Trump. Keep fighting the fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right? What's left? Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.